appreciate the messages so far. Especially appreciate Terry's message yesterday about God speaking to us. And speaks to me, not in a voice or something like that, but just mentally telling me things, just like Terry was discussing. And the message for me today is, don't get sidetracked. Give this message. This is what you're meant to give. Don't get sidetracked. We're going to try not to. The title of the message today is, Could Jesus Return Today? In my hometown of Somerset, Kentucky, there's a church with a sign up that says, Jesus Could Return Today. Are you ready? Have you ever seen such a sign in your town? Have you ever heard a minister on the radio or television stating that Jesus could return today? Do people who make such statements know their Bibles? Do they? Do they know what they're talking about? Could Jesus return today? Turn with me to Amos 8, 11 through 12. Amos 8, 11 through 12. I don't have this one in my notes, so I'm really going to have to turn to it. Amos, who is Amos? He's a minor prophet. 12 minor prophets. He's one of them. That should tell you the kind of the area where it's at. I don't know the page myself. But here it is. Amos 11. I knew of this scripture. I couldn't find it. Had to get on the computer and search. But God wanted me to give this scripture. Amos 11, and I finally found it. Amos 8, 11 to 12. Sorry. Amos 11's not there. So you ought to check up on me. Amos 8, 11 to 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread. No. Not a thirst for water. No. But of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord. Shall not find it. Now let's do a little pretending today, brethren. Let's pretend the famine of God's word has already occurred. Someone has taken your Bible. And there is not one to be found anywhere. Close your Bibles for me. Close them. They're gone. How do you feel? No Bible. Now I ask you again, could Jesus Christ, Yahshua the Messiah, your Savior, return today? How do you know? What scriptures do you have locked in your brain to know whether he could come today or whether or not? What events must take place before our Savior can come again? Now take out a blank sheet of paper and write on it the seven trumpets of God. And below those, that seven trumpets of God, write out numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Your Bible's gone. You fill in the blanks. Go ahead. Fill in the blanks. What are they? Do you know? You know, this is God talking to me. Because as I prepared my message for the Feast of Trumpets, that's what God told me. Fill them out, boy. You know what they are? You don't have a Bible? You know what the seven trumpets are? You know what the answer was for me? No. I need a seventh one. But I didn't know 1 through 6. You know, I've been keeping the Feast of Trumpets a lot of years. And that's God talking to me. You've been keeping it for how many years? And you don't know what the trumpets are? What's wrong with you? Where's your head? What's important to you? I should know. You should know. That's the message God wants given today. Because these events will take place. And they're not little, small, minute, little events. They're catastrophic. And been predicted a long time ago. God will bring them about. That's faith. God says He will bring them about. I believe He's going to do it. Whether in my lifetime or not, these events will take place. And they precede the return of the Messiah. Turn with me to Matthew 24:29-31. Or write it down. My wife tells me the biggest complaint is I go too fast on the scriptures. Because I have them already. I cheat a little bit. Matthew 24:29-31. The Messiah returns with the great sound of a trumpet. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The Jews have been waiting a long time for that. And He will stand, and He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You know, there's something else that precedes the seven trumpets. Did you catch it? The tribulation. And I went over that. You find a lot about that in the book of Ezekiel. You find a lot of details. They're not pretty details, but they're details. Even before the trumpets is a tribulation. Do you know what that entails? You should. We need to. But that's a different sermon. A different message. Today I want to talk about the trumpets. And this seventh one, we probably all know that one, because on the Feast of Trumpets, we typically go over that, don't we? 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Now that's God talking to me again. I don't want you to be ignorant, James, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others. They have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. They're not in heaven. Somebody tells you that, they're lying to you. This is Scripture. This isn't something I've made up. This is Scripture. They're not in heaven. They're not in hell. They sleep. They wait. What are they waiting for? We'll get to that. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. They're waiting for us. The first fruits. We're going to rise together. They're waiting for you and for me. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. they will raise from their sleep. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Isn't it comforting to be a first fruit? Isn't it a privilege? Isn't it an honor? First fruits with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 apostles. They're first fruits. So are you. That's a great privilege and opportunity you've been given. Not because you're great, you're nothing. That's why. We're going to confound the mighty. They were looking at you? Yeah. Me. Because God chose me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. You, boy. Yeah. No. Yeah. I accepted that call. Have you? I hope so. There's no greater calling in the world. We should comfort one another with these words. Not tear each other apart. And I've been guilty of that. And I ask for your forgiveness. You know, the small voice in my head also said, James, save your sword for the enemy. And that's what I try to do. Save it for the enemy. Cut them to shreds. Because they need it. As we will see as this message progresses. John 6:35-40. John 6:35-40. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Christ can fill you. He can do it. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Had you come to your Savior, he won't cast you out. He'll see you through. That's comforting words for me, because I'm not too bright. I'm not too righteous without God. I need his help. Our Savior's there for us. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing. Is that comforting to you? I like hearing that. Jesus, the Father sent Jesus so that he will lose nothing. I like hearing that a whole lot. But should raise it up at the last day. People are not in heaven and hell right now. People who tell you that are lying to you. Whether they know it or not, they're lying. And these are the words of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I believe him over any minister in the world. He will raise him up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I believe Jesus. Do you? Why can't ministers who claim to teach what Jesus taught teach what Jesus taught? I believe Jesus, not false ministers. Maybe if false ministers kept the Feast of Trumpets like the Bible instructs, they would not be so easily deceived on this issue of the resurrection. Not only do they not know the seventh trumpet, most of these false ministers don't realize there's seven trumpets, not one. And we need to know, and know that we know, what these seven trumpets are. Is this the only place that our Savior said that He will raise people at the last day? Maybe we should just keep reading on a little further. Continuing on, John 6:41-51. The Jews then complained about Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He says, I've come down from heaven? You know, I hear people today claiming to be Christians, claiming He didn't come down from heaven. He didn't exist. He didn't pre-exist. I think He did. He came down from heaven. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Well, Jesus just didn't get this heaven and hell stuff down, did he? Once again, I will raise him up at the last day. That's words from your Savior. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he is who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He's our hope. He's our Savior. Did you catch that? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I didn't seek God. He called me. That was His choice, not mine. Now, eventually I had to say yay or nay. I say yay. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the opportunity. Aren't you? What an opportunity. Not everybody gets it. Not everybody gets a shot to be a first fruit. But isn't that why you're here? Don't you want to be a first fruit? Is there anything more important? Is there anything greater than that? And I will raise him up at the last day. Now, maybe twice is not enough. Maybe you need to hear that again. Let's continue reading. John 6:52-58. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. How important do you think Passover is? How important do you think Jesus Christ thought Passover was? Maybe I ought to repeat that. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Or before that. Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. When do we eat His flesh and drink His blood? Passover. You think Passover coming up this spring is important? You think you might want to be there? I think I want to be there. I want to have life. And I can't without Him. I have to eat His flesh and drink His blood. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Have we heard that before from our Savior? Yeah. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. For the third time, Jesus repeats it. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day. Did any of the followers of Jesus believe what he said? Most of the world today does not believe what Jesus said, but did people back in his day, did some of his followers really believe what Jesus said? How about John 11:23-24? John 11:23-24. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Martha didn't say, "My brother has died and gone to heaven," did she? That's not what she told Jesus, is it? Yet I have heard many people say that their loved ones have died and gone to heaven. They simply don't believe the teachings of the Messiah. Satan has deceived them. I don't want to criticize or ridicule or put them down. I want to bring them out of deception. They've been lied to. And I want to give them the truth because God gave me the truth. And whether they believe it today or don't believe it in the millennium, they're going to start believing. We need to help them out of that deception, brethren. We don't want to take them into deception. We want to bring them out of deception with the truth of the words of our Messiah. The faithful should not be deceived by this false doctrine. Hebrews 11:8-40. Hebrews 11:8-40. I'll just read 8 and then skip to the middle because of Frank Zimlicka's message about Abraham and the faithful. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he should receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And Frank gave a wonderful job of how faithful Abraham was. And this Hebrews, if you read through it, it's good reading. It goes over person after person after person after person. It was faithful. First fruits. But you get down there to the end, 39, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Where are all these faithful people? They are not in heaven. They are in their graves, asleep, waiting for us. And when will that resurrection come? After the tribulation, with a great sound of the trumpet. That's the last trumpet. Why is it called the last trumpet? 1 Corinthians 15:50-58. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Ever heard anybody say, the kingdom of God is here? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I believe the Bible. I don't believe people who say that. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when his corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades, or the grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Comforting? Should be. That's what we need to comfort each other with. We're in this together, aren't we? Did I read that right? At the last trumpet, the dead will be raised incorruptible? According to some preachers, the righteous are already in heaven. I don't know about you, but I believe the Bible over these false ministers. These false ministers claim to preach the Bible. But when you check the Bible against what they teach, you see something very clearly. They are not teaching the Scriptures. If you don't check, you don't know. But when you check, and God has opened your eyes, it's pretty clear, it's pretty obvious. The Scriptures clearly teach a resurrection of the dead. Now, when does the resurrection of the saints and the transformation of those alive take place? Continuing on in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Do some ministers preach there's no resurrection of the dead? How can they do that? I have the same question. How can they do that? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ who did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ. When? When they die? No. Afterward, those who are in Christ at his coming. The first fruits will be resurrected at the coming of the Messiah and not before. And anyone who teaches you different is a liar. Are you going to believe Scripture, the Messiah, and the Apostle Paul? Or are you going to believe a liar? I don't know about you, but I don't like being lied to. I don't like somebody telling me they're telling me the truth and then telling me a lie. I don't like that. That's breaking one of the commandments, isn't it? That's not nice. Especially from people claiming to be ministers of Jesus Christ. Shame on them. They should know better. These false ministers probably don't realize that there are 7 trumpets, not just 1. There's 7. Brethren, do we know what event each trumpet precedes? Is it locked up in there in case your Bible gets taken? So you'll know when these events come, you're like, yeah, there's 1, there's 2, there's 3, there's 4. We really should know. And I'm guilty. I didn't really know. But God is focusing me on these. Hopefully to help others focus on them too. We need to know. Let's review together. And remember, the holy day is the feast. It's not the feast of trumpet, is it? It's the feast of trumpets. Multiple trumpets. Let's not forget that. Trumpet number 1. Trumpet number 1. The first angel sounded. Revelation 8, verse 7. Revelation 8, verse 7, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. A third of the trees. You see these little fires in California, forest fires? You think they're big? Drop in the bucket. One third of the trees on the earth in flames. When did that happen? Do you think you missed that? I don't think you missed it. I don't think you missed the trumpet or the fire. That is a huge, catastrophic event. And it's in the future. Can Jesus Christ return today? No. He cannot return until the 7th trump. We have not even heard the 1st trump yet. A third of the trees on this planet on fire. Do you know how much smoke that is going to generate? You ever been close to a forest fire? I live in the mountains of Kentucky, and we don't usually get them because we get a lot of rain typically. But we've had them occasionally just close, and it's not pretty. Smoky, dusty. Ah, don't want to be around it. A third of the trees burn up. And that's the first trump. You ready for number 2? Continuing on in verse 8 through 9. Then the second angel sounded. And something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. When did that happen? You think you missed that? I don't think you missed it. The second trump has not sounded yet. This has not happened. It's in the future. God says it will happen. And I have faith. It will happen. Can you imagine a third of the sea being blood? Can you imagine a third of the ships being destroyed? You know, back in the old days, a third of the ships being destroyed, how much would that affect the economy? But you think about today, how does oil get here? How does food get here in other nations? It's a global economy. Can you imagine a third of the ships gone, sunk to the bottom? Probably half of them will be loaded and half of them will be empty going back. Can you imagine if all the cargo lost? It hasn't happened yet. Jesus is not going to return today. Continuing on in verses 10 through 11. Then the third angel sounded. And a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, likewise the night. You know, winter, we just lose a little bit of sunlight. And it gets cold. You imagine a third of it gone. How's God going to do that? I don't know. But I think God's up to the task. I don't know how he's going to do it. But a third of the sun, a third of the day gone, it's going to be cold. And we've lost a third of the firewood. We've lost a third of the oil from the oceans have sunk. You think you missed this one? I don't think so. Continuing on. In verse 8. And I skipped one. You know, I gave this before and I skipped the same one. I skipped number 3. I went on to number 4. Still not in my head right, is it? I still got work to go. That's all right. Back up. Number 3. Then the third angel sounded. And a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. You just imagine a third of all fresh water made poison. You can't drink it. You try to drink it, you'll die. It's poison. A third. You think we've got water shortages now? A third of it's poison. Not drinkable. That is not some little tiny event. It is a catastrophic event that will affect the lives of virtually everyone on the globe. A third of the water's gone. And then number 4, we went over. Sea turns to blood, a third of it. Ships destroyed. And then we come to the 3 woes. Ever heard of that? Revelation 8:13, and I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the 3 angels who are about to sound. Do you know what the 3 woes are? Maybe we ought to find out. Revelation 9:1-12. Then the 5th angel sounded. And I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth. Grass was all destroyed before. It's grown back. That's time has progressed, hasn't it? Or any green thing or any tree that only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Now there's a mark you want to have. The seal of God on your forehead. At this time, it'd be a good idea to have that. You know why? Let's read it. and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. To torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like the horses prepared for battle. On their heads was crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running in the battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. In Greek, he is the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these. Anybody in here ever had the flu? I had it for the first time. I got it for about a week. I thought I was going to die, and afraid I wasn't. That was bad. The flu, that is rough. Imagine having the flu for 5 months. You think you'd be ready to die? I think I'd be ready to die. Just let me die. 5 months, so sick. And only those who have the mark of God. Everybody else, susceptible. Can you imagine everybody sick for 5 months at one time? Now, here's another hint. Jesus isn't coming back for at least 5 months. I don't know when it's going to be. The Apostle Paul thought it would be in his day. I believe it's going to be in my day. But I'll tell you what, if God wants it to go on 2,000 more years, it'll go on 2,000 more years. It will come when our Father is ready. When our Father says, blow the seventh trumpet, the Messiah's coming. He does what the Father tells him to do. That's when he's coming. Trumpet number 6, Revelation 9, 13 through 19. Then the sixth angel sounded. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third mankind. Did you read that? To kill a third of mankind. I don't think you've missed this. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. That is a massive army. I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of the mouths. For their power is in their mouth and their tails, for the tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. Brethren, that is over 2 billion people who died. You know, remember the tsunami that occurred? What happened? How many died there? 100,000? World news. Everybody heard about that. Do you think everybody's going to hear about 2 billion people dying? This is not some little tiny event somewhere else. Over 2 billion people are going to die when this trumpet sounds. I don't think the world takes that too seriously. We should. We should take it seriously and believe God at His Word. Now, do you think after all these things that the world would finally repent? You know, I would think so. Come on, 2 billion people, a third of the sea blood, a third of the water's poison, a third of the forest burned up. Being so sick for 5 months you wish you were dead? Wouldn't that be enough to bring the world to repentance? They're just going to say, okay, God, enough, please, forgive us. We repent. We're sorry. You're God. Is that how they're going to react to these things? I'm afraid not. I wish it were so. But God knows His creation. Continuing on, Revelation 9, 20 through 21. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Now, what religion bows down to idols? What religion worships demons? You know, I was reading a book about a religion that was paying homage to people who are dead and getting answers back from people who are dead. Now, we know dead people are asleep in the grave. So if they're worshiping and praying to people who are supposedly in heaven and they're answering back, who do you suppose is answering back? Who do you suppose is claiming to be their dead ancestors? It's not their dead ancestors. I don't think it's good angels of God. I think it's demons. Do they think they're praying to demons? No. Who else can it be? We already saw the dead are asleep. They're not answering back. Do they repent of doing such things, bowing down to idols and worshiping demons? 21, and they did not repent of their murders. That's breaking a commandment. Or their sorceries, or their sexual immoralities, or their thefts. Did they repent? Going through these catastrophic punishments? No. That's the purpose of these six trumpets, to bring the world to repentance. You know, you think that's cruel, that's harsh. Why do you do that, God? But you know what? It's not enough. That's why. It's still not enough. As harsh and difficult as it is, they still are not brought to repentance. But they will. God knows what He's doing. That is the plan, to bring the world to repentance. It starts with the six trumpets. Continuing on, the mystery of God, finished Revelation 10, 1 through 11. I won't read this. I'll let you read this yourself. Shorten it a little bit. Then we'll go to Revelation 11, 1 through 14. The two witnesses. My wife knows I dwell a lot on these two witnesses. I'm already praying for these two witnesses. I hope to know these two witnesses and serve them and help them. You know who these two witnesses will be? People. Just people. Not some special, great, just people. Just like in Terry and his message in Elijah, and brought fire down from heaven, Elijah. He was so strong and powerful. And yet, not too many days later, he was running for his life, scared to death. Do you think the two witnesses will have emotions like that? I think they will. The people. They'll be strong some days, and they'll be scared some days. They'll be alone some days. They'll be discouraged some days. I hope the church in the wilderness can encourage those two witnesses. You've got a job. You're doing great. Keep at it. We're behind you. We can't be with you. But as we'll see, if we come out of here, the whore will kill us. She'll hand us to the beast and have us strung up and killed. You're protected. We're not. Revelation 11, 1 through 14, then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. but leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Can Jesus come back today?
No.
It's going to be at least, how many days does it say here? I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That didn't happen yet. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before God of the earth that is spoken of in the book of Daniel. These were spoken of not just in Revelation, but back in the book of Daniel, these two olive plants were spoken of. God's had this plan worked out for a long time. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from the mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have the power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. Elijah did that too, didn't he? He didn't just bring fire down from heaven. Or maybe it was Elisha, I'm not sure. But one of them I know said, no rain. And the king was looked far and wide. We got to find this guy. We need some rain. And they have power over the waters to turn them to blood. Moses did that, didn't he? And to strike the earth with all plagues as they desire. Moses did that too, didn't he? When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, kill them. You know what? The two witnesses are going to know that. They know their destiny. They're going to be killed. And they know it. But like Paul, they're going to preach it anyway. And their dead bodies will lie in the street, the great city which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow the dead bodies to be put in the grave. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. The two witnesses of God that will come preaching, repent, accept our Savior as your ruler. You better. They kill him and rejoice over it. Make merry and send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. I wonder where they got that practice of exchanging gifts. I wonder where that came from. Yeah, people say, is exchanging gifts in the Bible? Oh yeah, it sure is. Not where you would expect. People rejoicing over the death of God's two witnesses and exchanging gifts. Sad. That's the extent of the deception of Satan. It's unbelievable what he's been able to do. And after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. Yeah, I bet so. Party, they're dead. Ding dong, the witnesses are dead. 3 days later, and a half days later, though, they stand up. Oops. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake 7,000 people were killed. And the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Now where do you suppose these people got the custom of exchanging gifts? Let me tell you something. You find a church that brought that custom into Christian worship, and you will find the whore that will ride the beast. She claims to be the true church of God, the faithful church to become the wife of Christ. But when you peer behind the beautiful veil that she puts out as a front. What you really find is an imposter. It is really a deceitful whore committing fornications with the nations of this world. Trumpet number 7, Revelation 11, 15 through 19. Then the seventh angel sounded. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead, the seventh trumpet, time of the dead, time for the resurrection, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. The day of the wicked, their judgment is coming. They will be judged. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in the temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. And this is the resurrection that the Messiah spoke of, that Paul spoke of, the apostles knew. Revelation 12, 1 through 17, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. You ever wonder why a third, a third, a third, these punishments, a third, a third, a third, a third? Maybe verse 4 will give us the reason why it's a third, a third, a third, a third punishment. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. That is Satan and his rebellion, a third of the angels. And God is not happy about that. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. And that's where he is now, isn't it? We know who this is. I hope you know who this is. It's your Savior. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that she should feed, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And he's done an incredible job of deceiving the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused him before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Because he's heard the trumpets too, and he's seen the plagues too. And the world may not know what they are, but you can count on it. Satan knows what they are, and he knows what it means. His time is short. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to a place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed out water from his mouth like a flood after the woman, and she might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And we know from other scriptures that typically a flood is an analogy for an army. Satan sends an army after this innocent church in the wilderness because he hates us. And if he can, he'll kill us. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Seems like that's kind of happened before, hadn't it? Like an army went through some water and not a good decision. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. The rest of her offspring, the remnant of the church. It tells you something, doesn't it? Not everyone's going to make it to the place of safety. Not all of God's people are going to make it. There's no guarantee of that. If you're in the church just to make it to the place of safety, I got news for you. Not everybody makes it. They're still of the church. They just didn't make it to the place of safety. That's not the reason to be here. We are here for the first resurrection. Our hope is not this world. It's the world to come. The rest of her offspring. And who is the remnant of the church? Who keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Interesting. Who are those considered the remnant of the true church by Scripture? Those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and keep the commandments. Do the Jews have the testimony of Jesus Christ? I don't think so. Do the Protestants keep the commandments? I don't think so. Satan will know who the remnant of the church is. Do we know? God knows. Satan's going to know because that's who he's going to attack. Do we know? Revelation 13, 1-18, and I stood in the sand of the seas, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on its horns ten crowns, and on its head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? He will be a great military might. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the authority was given over him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. A world power. You haven't missed this one. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs. Let me tell you something. If you're just looking for great signs, you're going to be deceived. Because this false minister is going to perform mighty signs. You better know a little bit more than that. So that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He has granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You bow down to this image or you die. Let me ask you something. Do you think Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego would have bowed down to that image? I don't think so. And that no one may buy or sell except for one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the name of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. You cannot buy and sell if you do not have this mark. How hard would it be with today's technology to enforce that? You can't hardly buy or sell today without a social security number. Not that I think that's the mark. But would that be hard to enforce? No. Wouldn't be hard at all. And why won't people who have the mark help those that don't have the mark? Why not help them? You want to know why? Because if they're caught, they're killed. Now, I think they're going to be so willing to help. Would you be willing to help? You help, you're caught, you die. It's that simple. Not going to want to help. Revelation 14:1-20. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as if it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, and saying with a loud voice, now this is the gospel of God. Now you may have heard there's only one certain thing that's the gospel of God, but this is the gospel of God that an angel is going to proclaim to the earth. And after the first six trumpets, they ought to be heeding. 59 verse 7, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, the great city, because she has made all the nations drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night to worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Then I looked and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat at the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar, who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God, and the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 foreigners. Blood up the bridle. Revelation 15:1-8, the seven last plagues. You know what they are? I might leave that to you to find out. What's the seven last plagues? Picking back up in Revelation 17, 1 through 18, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast who was full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of the abominations of the filthiness of her fornication." Pretty on the outside, wicked as can be. And on her forehead a name was written, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, "What do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which is wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are the ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Get that? Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. The beast will turn on the whore." That's what Satan is all about. It doesn't matter who wins or loses in his book. It's just war after war after war after war after war. That's all he wants for eternity. If Satan were to continue reigning, it would be like Star Wars for eternity. One side fighting the other, fight. Doesn't matter who wins, doesn't matter who loses, just fight, war. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is a great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. City? A city-state? How many city-states do you know of? I've heard it's the only one. There may be others, but I only know one city-state. What church rules from a city-state? Anything come to mind? Does the Vatican ring any bells for anyone? And this city-state used to have its own currency, its own money. But let me tell you something. That has recently changed. They do not have their own currency anymore. They have converted to the euro. Did you know that? The Vatican has converted to the euro. Now that may not mean anything to you. To me, when I studied that and read that, my reaction was, oh, we're near. I believe we're a lot closer than we think. Do you wonder what assembly of nations will compose the beast power? Don't you kind of wonder about that? Wouldn't you like kind of like to know that a little bit ahead of time so you can run? If you are watching like you're supposed to be, it is already as clear as day. The beast already lives in infancy. And just like Hitler's Third Reich, in infancy, it seemed harmless, didn't it? Didn't seem so bad. He was helping that nation. And that nation loved him because he did help that nation go from rags to riches. He stole it from others, but so what? What's character? You ever heard that saying, character doesn't matter, it's the economy, stupid? That is about the dumbest statement I've ever heard in my life. And I've heard it over and over and over. The beast already lives in infancy and it is gaining power daily. Whether you see it or not. You know what's stopping that great beast from just getting that power quickly? Britain and France. And you know why they're stopping? You know why they're slowing it down? You know what I'm saying? No. They don't want to give up what the beast wants to take from them. Their sovereignty. And they have refused up to this point. I don't know how long they will refuse, but I'm glad they are. I hope they fight that tooth and nail. You know, France is a part of the Third Reich. They didn't want to be, but they were. They may be a part of the Fourth Reich. Maybe not willingly. I can't see Britain being part of it. They will not give up that sovereignty. Because they know what it means. We in this country haven't been in Europe and understand what giving up that sovereignty means. Revelation 18:1-24, after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Why do the nations want to be a part of this nasty beast power? It's going to make them rich. It's the economy, stupid. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. And the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure, give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen. I am no widow and will not see sorrow. She's wrong. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. That is pretty sad. They will be sorrowful that this wicked city is taken down, because they can't sell their stuff anymore. They don't care about the saints of God. They don't care about God. They don't care about His ways. They just want to be able to sell their stuff and make money on their stuff. Right down to the end, that's the way they are. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. And what kind of merchandise? Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and incense, fragrant oil, and frankincense, wine, and oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and bodies, and souls of men. If you don't think slavery's coming back, you're wrong. Slavery's coming back. They will sell people. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all these things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who become rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches come to nothing." You know, that's what great riches are. In the end, that's what great riches come to, isn't it? They come to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of a burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." I don't think we should be mourning over that. We should be doing what 20 says. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "Thus with the violence the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman or any craft shall be finding you anymore. And the sound of the millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in it was found the blood of prophets and saints and all who were slain on the earth." Yeah, mighty riches for the nations. Not such good news for the saints. They will hunt us down and kill us. I hope we are rejoicing when the city is finally brought to its wicked end. Amazing that the merchants mourn the loss of this wicked city. They don't care about the saints of God that she has murdered. All they care about is the filthy lucre she provided for them. What a terrible shame. I guess they'll probably like the expression, "It's the economy, stupid." King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19-21. "And these things I heard a loud voice, a great multitude in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God, for true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication and has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her." Again they said, "Hallelujah," for smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, Hallelujah." Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." And that ushers in the millennium. What we portray this week, the reign of the Messiah and the saints. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Brethren, do you think it matters what you do? You think that matters? "For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." I think it matters. I think it matters to God what we do. I think he's watching what we're doing. "Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." You know, I've been told in some groups, prophecy doesn't matter. But I read my Bible, and it says here, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." I believe revelation. I believe it's important we understand what God is planning for the future. He's given us the plan. We need to know it. "Now I saw heaven and open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed with fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Wonder who that might be. Actually, I don't wonder. But the world does. They won't know who he is. They'll fight him, because they don't know his word. He is the Word of God. But they don't know it. Satan's deceit is so complete that they will fight your Savior. "Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of fortunes and those who sit on them and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beasts, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army." They're coming to fight. "Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh." Brethren, our Savior, our Messiah, is not left lying in a manger or hanging on a cross. He returns with great power and glory, and this time he ushers in the kingdom with power and glory. And I think the Jews will see him for who he is. From Zechariah 14, they'll see him. They know. Oops. We missed it. We missed the first coming. Let's not miss this one. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, 1-6. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. and he cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years are finished. But after these things, he must be released for a while. Now, why do you think God would do that? Why would he release Satan after being in a hole for 1,000 years and not be able to see anybody? Why do you think he'd do that? I think for one thing, it shows after 1,000 years sitting in a dark hole, he has not changed a bit. He has not repented. He will come back and do the same lying, stealing, murdering again. And secondly, amazing to me, he will corrupt the nations. Even after 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ and the saints with peace around the world, knowing the truth for 1,000 years, when Satan's around, we got problems. We got big problems. This nasty, filthy, horrible being needs to be put away for good. He has chose this way, and he will be put away. Rest assured of that. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's our hope. The first resurrection, that's our hope. It's a better resurrection. You know why it's a better resurrection? Because we get to serve more. We get to help turn this nasty world around. What an honor. What a privilege. No one has lived 1,000 years. Someone who starts in the millennium most likely will not finish it. But the first fruits aren't human. We will start it and we'll finish it under the leadership and the direction of our Master, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ, Yahshua the Messiah. That is our hope. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. And after the millennium, we have another resurrection. People are not burning in hell or in heaven. They are asleep, awaiting this second resurrection. And ministers, because they don't understand the first resurrection, don't understand the second resurrection. They don't understand because they've been deceived. There is hope for the dead. And the dead's hope is the same hope that we have, Jesus Christ, Yahshua the Messiah. His blood will cover their sins too, if they will repent, as we must repent. And after the millennium, we get to help them to come around to God's way of thinking. What an honor, what a privilege, what a plan, what a mighty God we have. It's incredible. But not everyone in the world's mind is open to that truth yet, brethren. Understand that. You didn't come to this on your own. God opened your mind to give you a shot, to give you a first fruit. Not for yourself, not for your own glory, that you may help others in the future. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who is part of the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Brethren, let us be watching and realize, when these trumpet blasts begin to sound and these events unfold before our eyes, that the return of our beloved Master draws near. Brethren, don't you get caught napping.